If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, welcome everyone to The Distraction. It is Thursday, February 18th. We're going to talk about wrestling, allegedly. I'm Jeremy Lambert, joined, as always, the chubby chief, Joseph Holbert. Joseph, how are you?
It feels real, real good to be on that top tier, Jeremy Lambert. that was literally a pop just for Jeremy. But there you go. Someone else might have found it funny too. I'm very good. It is a big week. It is a week of deathmatch chatter. It is chamber talk, many things to discuss, a new segment on the show that will probably last 1 week only. Where, I mean, it's just such going on. I have a new light over me. My skin is now even more obviously pale. Where to start? I'm very excited.
You've been locked in an attic your whole life. You've never gotten any sun. That's why you're so pale.
Another inside joke. Incredible.
We're only here to just pop like two or three people a show. And for some reason, 1,000 people watch this show every week.
Yes, I was looking, Jeremy. I'm going to just do small talk straight away here because we have nothing actually to talk about that we care about. So here we go. I was looking, doing the report card. AEW does this thing now where they like upload their videos after Dynamite in like two goes. Have you seen this? They upload like four segments immediately, and then the next day they upload the rest of the show in individual segments with the worst titles you can ever think of. Anyway,
the titles are very bad.
So they didn't upload Luther's match, and I need a saint for Luther. So I was like, okay, obvious. I'll do our show. 1.4, I think, right now. I was like, oh, man, seems bad. I mean, obviously, Luther drew him for that one. Don't get me wrong, he's the star. But seems bad that many people have seen Luther's fantasy draft big board. Very scary.
Speaking of Luther, good segue, Joseph. I don't know if you meant it or not. Luther and Serpentico, Chaos Project themselves, going to be on the Twitch Tuesday, this Tuesday. You don't know what we're doing. I'll go ahead and tell everybody what we're doing right now. This is what he just DM'd me, literally before we talked. 1986, eight-man tourney. We each pick two guys, and then we're going to simulate it on the Fire Pro.
1986, specifically.
Specifically.
Okay. That's the guy, man. He says what we do. He's got the pencil when it comes to that stuff. You know? I'm in. I'm all in.
That's what we're doing. Twitch.tv/FightfulGaming. This Tuesday, 2 p.m. Usually we're at 8 p.m. or 8 p.m. Usually we're at 3 p.m. Eastern. 2 p.m. Eastern this week to accommodate Luther and Serpentico's schedule. You know, they're the stars. We gotta acquiesce to what their schedule is.
This feels like a big angle as we continue to build to our eventual tag match with those guys.
Oh, yeah. Luther took an apron powerbomb to the outside last night.
Yes.
Man, it's crazy.
Yes, and also, Chuck Taylor like nearly killed Serpentico. So whether they're even on this show next week, no clue. But apparently they're on the show. So there you go.
JJ sends us a super chat. Here for the big stars. I hope you are doing good. Why isn't Luther involved in the explosive death match? O'Neill's corner is just filth. Let me get plugs out of the way. And stuff. Fightful.com, head over there, check everything out. Fightful Select. Sean just had news about the Kyle O'Reilly situation and a bunch of other news dropping today. He's got an interview with Dakota Kai coming this week. So I've heard of Dakota Kai, right? Here she's like a big deal. Go to Fightful Select, go to twitch.tv/FightfulGaming. We are there like 3-4 times a week. We will be there right after the show, Joseph, 4:30 p.m. Eastern, distraction post show on the Twitch. Go to Fightful Scraps, youtube.com/FightfulScraps. I think we're doing like a watch along for every like event now that just like happens. Joel Pearl is running this. This is what my scoopsters tell me, that Joel Pearl has a hand in this. I don't know why. I have no idea why. I don't get it. I'm going to show up there just to ban him. And you know, that's what I do. And I think that's everything. Is that everything? O'Neill's Corner, 4 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Distraction. O'Neill's Corner 3. This is the thing that we're doing. I have no idea why. He's going to review the first episode of Young Rock.
Here's a question, okay? Trivia. And it's not answerable yet because it hasn't happened, but how many seconds does O'Neill produce of audio before one of us has to like fuel him for another question? Honestly.
I was gonna say, like, when we bring him on, it's gonna be like 3 minutes or, you know, however long you just go.
Yeah. So, Rob, what do you think of, you know, Young Rock? Fine, man. Yeah, I like it. Okay. You got anything else in this 3 minute segment, or are you just there? It's fine if that's it. I'm just saying.
Guys, get your super chats in. Get your question, comment, statement read on the air. Just like JJ, which we've already read, but we're going to read it again because JJ is our guy. Big stars. Why isn't Luther in the explosive death match? Let's talk about this, Joseph. Exploding barbed wire death match is what's going to headline AEW Revolution, AEW World title match, Jon Moxley against Kenny Omega. What is happening with this?
It's insanity, right? I mean, it is. We read these, like, this list of what could be the Revolution main event was not on any of the lists. No. We're being honest with ourselves. It should have been, though, because these guys are both lunatics. I'll say this much. I was nowhere near as high on their Winter is Coming match as, like, a lot of people were.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm all for, if you're going to run it back, doing saying this is insane as this. I am not the guy to ask because I genuinely am not sure I've seen one of these matches in full in my life. I have my blind spots. If you listen to this show, you can imagine why I have not quite dived into that realm of the professional wrestling industry. I think the best way to capture it is, like, at best, it's an awesome spectacle. At worst, it's an insanely hilarious spectacle in front of, like, 50 dudes sitting around the ring cheering and clapping. Like, it's going to be ridiculous in this setting, but, like, you know, God bless, man. I mean, it's a wild fit, but it's happening. Get ready for it. I don't know.
We weren't doing the show at the time they had their lights out match at Full Gear, right, which I was at. And I don't know how often we've talked about it, but what did you think of that match?
I thought the reaction to it was very, like, over the top, personally. Like, I thought it was a fun, you know, fun's probably the wrong word because it's pretty cruel. But, like, I thought, again, it's spectacle, I think, was the word for it. You know, it was wild. It was, but I didn't think it was, like, I didn't think it crossed the line of, like, oh, my God, I don't want to watch this anymore. This, by its very nature, is a very different thing, right? I mean, this isn't a, you know, a clean slate, do what you want, guys. This is very much restricted to, you. This is what you've got to work with, okay? And historically, from what I can gather, you know, the drama in these matches is very much built in the kind of the ability to, like, maximize each of those moments in a fashion where there's a tension as to, oh my God, it's about to happen now. You know, and it's like, you're on the edge of your seat. That feels like something that's really limited, not with, like, a full arena of fans. But at the same time, it's such an absurd idea visually. It probably doesn't need any fans, you know. It's like, for example, here's a comparison for you. You know the our friends at Impact Wrestling, Executive of the Year, Scott D'Amore, and all those. They did the what was the gimmick they put on Sammy and Eddie's last match?
Oh, that was just like, a barbed wire massacre. Yeah,
and they were doing. I thought it was a fine match, but they were doing, like, the traditional, like, teases, right? Where it's like, oh, will he? Won't he? And in an empty building, it's just weird. It's a weird vibe, but it's so, you know, kind of stark, it's still kind of effective. You had explosions into this thing. I mean, it's going to be something to see, right? I think even the most cynical non-AEW guys get like, well, I probably am going to just try to watch that match just to see what it looks like. That's where I'm at right now. But to your question, I liked their match at Full Gear 2019.
I was being in the crowd. I was a little uncomfortable at Full Gear 2019. It's not my style of wrestling. It's just not. And the stuff they were doing, it was certainly a spectacle. The glass stuff really got me. And I understand, like, it wasn't real glass, like, they're chopping off fingers with this stuff, but I was just like, oh, this is a little much for me. A couple things could hurt this. One is like no fans, and I'm sure the guys at ringside will be good. Like they'll probably let in a good amount of fans, probably like the most fans they've had since they've let in fans will probably be there for Revolution. So the building, it'll look nice, it'll sound good, but the bigger concern is like, this is clearly going to be another 20-hour show on a Sunday, not even a Saturday. Like, you're going to put this at the end of it.
Yeah.
It's gonna be tough. Like, you're appealing to a certain audience with this, and I'm not sure, like, the AEW audience wants to be like, yeah, let's watch exploding barbed wire death matches between Kenny Omega and Jon Moxley at the end of a 20-hour show on a Sunday.
I mean, we're going to find out whether that's the case or not, which is the beauty of this. But I think there's an interesting conversation we've had about the show, right? Like, so I think outside of last February, which is, oh my God, it's now a year ago. That sounds very scary. But you know the Revolution build for last year? Everyone agrees was great, right?
Yeah.
I mean, outside of that, the last few months of AEW TV, I would say going back to like Winter Is Coming probably, I think has been their best TV. I think they've done the best job of leaving like hooks on the end of shows, of having like kind of wow moments as well as some stuff of substance. But what's interesting is all of that, you know, in that time, we're always heading towards Revolution. There's not been any pay-per-view in between. We've done a few TV specials, I get that. But they're just episodes of Dynamite in reality. And I don't know, I'm not here to say it's bad by any means. I don't know if Revolution as a card thus far, so what matches do we have? We have the tags, Matt and Hangman, the street fight, which I want to talk about in a minute, and the main event. Is that all we have right now?
There's a 6-person ladder match that they like casually added last night.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. So I don't know if right now Revolution reflects just how fun Dynamite has been, which isn't a criticism necessarily of Revolution. I just wish it felt more like the final chapter of a bunch of stories we've been telling. Whereas thus far to me, it only feels like that in like half of those cases. You know? Does that make any sense? Like we spoke before, MJF and Jericho versus the Young Bucks is not a rivalry. It's literally just started. We're 2 weeks away, 3 weeks away. The six man is what it is. It's a spotty, you know, six guys are gonna do cool moves with a ladder. I get that. The street fight is very much what I just said, but it's like a weird version of it where it kind of feels stalled. I think they fixed that last night. Are you with me? Like, do you think Revolution could feel more, I truly cannot wait for that event? Or does it feel more like just like it's some cool matches?
Well, we talked about it. I mean, we've talked about it in previous weeks. We didn't know what the world title match was going to be.
Yeah.
We kind of speculated that, oh, they're probably just going to do a four-way. Like, Omega's involved with a bunch of different people. Like, you're throwing Kenta in the mix as well. It seems like it's going to be some type of multi-man match. And it's like, nope, exploding barbed wire death match. And like, I'm all for a Moxley Omega rematch. Because they talked about when Jericho lost the title of, hey, yeah, you get a rematch for the title. And then Jericho never got his rematch, which fine. And now Moxley does. But it seems like even Omega was surprised by it. Oh, you slipped in a rematch clause. Like, this is something they've specifically mentioned. Of, yeah, there's a rematch clause in there for the person who loses. I'm fine with Moxley and Omega. They have been building this, but they've taken a weird route to it. Because remember, like, Moxley lost, and then, like, he was just off television for a couple of weeks. Like, he wasn't, he came back, he was, like, pissed that he lost, but he was off TV for a couple of weeks and, like, wasn't even, he should have been more upset, I feel like, the way he got screwed out of the title on that. And then they've added Phoenix to the mix, they've added Archer to the mix, Kenta was in there, so they've done a bunch of different things. It doesn't feel like it's been a direct build to Moxley and Omega, and they still got a couple of weeks to like really heat that up a little bit more. The women's title or the women's tournament is what that is, like you're building a tournament there,
right? Yeah.
The six person, like that was just randomly thrown in on Cody was on commentary. It's like, oh yeah, we're doing a six person title match. The Jericho, the tag team title match, we talked about in previous weeks. Like we talked ourselves into Proud and Powerful winning because it seemed like, oh, there's an actual good storyline there with the Inner Circle, and then you can do Bucks and Good Brothers. Instead, it's like two separate storylines merging together, and they tried to add heat to this last night with the Inner Circle attacking the Young Bucks, but it's still two separate things because then you're cutting back to Omega and Good Brothers, be like, yeah, let's not save them and stuff. So it still feels like two separate storylines that they're having trouble merging into one to get to the stacked and title match. The street fight is the one where it's been, I mean, they've been building that since Darby and Cage, like I feel like 5 months ago. Or Darby and Taz 5 months ago. So that's been good. You're right. It's been like stalled a little bit and it just feels like it's taken forever to get there. Now we're at a point where Sting taking the powerbomb last night where they added like some actual true heat to this match.
That was a great segment. I don't want to talk about it, but I think the key is if you have 12 pay-per-views a year, you will have shows where you're like, you're doing something that's like a bridge to your actual, you know, like, so for example, you know, the Young Bucks, the Good Brothers, we want to do that next month. Revolution's going to have to be a merge of two different angles. I get that. The problem is they have four, right? Yeah. So it does feel a little bit odd, but...
Yeah, it doesn't feel like they've been building, like you said, if you have four big pay-per-views, it should feel like every single pay-per-view is a blow-off to something you've been building for a long time. And this does not feel like that.
Yeah, and it's not to say it looks bad, because I actually think the Hardy and Hangman stuff's been like pretty good TV, so I haven't even got a problem with that. I'm just saying it does feel as though it should, you know, it should be more like we're climbing up this mountain top to get to Revolution. And it kind of does in some ways, but I do think it has to be said. I mean, that Sting segment I thought was so impactful. But that made Team Taz, and it wasn't even Team Taz, it was just Cage and Taz, really, and Hook, of course. It was really just like such a simple thing. They challenged Sting, they dared him to put his back down, and they killed the man. Like, Cage laid him out with one move. He looked like an absolute beast through it. And Sting, that closing shot, oh my God, what just happened? That's very scary. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I'm a bit. Okay, good. It's very scary, Jeremy. The headphones broke.
I heard it. I heard it.
Oh, no. This is bad. This is very bad.
There you go, Neil. You're good on our end.
Okay, good. Well, I'm just very concerned with my headphones. They are popping in and out. This is bad. Okay. Cage laid out the Sting, and the closing shot of Sting looking up at the lights, the dead man walking, was very sad and tremendous heat. I liked it very much.
The overhead shot of that was absolutely tremendous with it got on Sting there. Bless Sting. I did not think that. Now it's echoing, Joseph. What's happening?
This is very, very bad. It appears my headphones broke live on air. Seems bad. Jeremy, seems very bad. Corner three may now be a full game of second option. Going to be honest here.
Do you not have spare headphones?
Hold fire. You'll have to host the show separately for a moment. Stay there, Jeremy.
I've never done this before. I will talk about it. Now I can change my profile picture to what Joseph has. There we go. Right in the middle there. Sting taking that powerbomb. Did not expect Sting to take that powerbomb at all. When we've talked about this show, or when we talked about this match before, I thought Sting might take a bump or two, like a nice little small, it was like a clothesline bump or something, maybe a scoop slam. I figured Sting would just be dishing out, you know, the backhand chops and the punches and everything. Starks would be bumping around like a madman for him. He'd power slam Brian Cage or something like that would happen with Sting. But Darby would be taking the majority of the bumps for the team. And then we got, here's Joseph. Are your headphones working?
I hope so. They seem like it. They're not coming out anymore. Okay. Seems good. I think we're fine.
All right, good. What I was saying is I did not expect Sting to be taking too many bumps in this match. I thought Ricky would be bumping around. Darby would be bumping around. Maybe Sting scoop slams Brian Cage or something. But Sting wouldn't be... just take maybe a flat back bump or two. That was kind of it. He took a power bomb last night. I'm now worried about what this man's going to do on pay-per-view. He might set himself on fire and jump off the stage. Like that could be what happens with Sting.
Okay, here we go. Inside baseball. Are we dismissing the chance that this was some kind of shenanigans? Some sort of camera effect deal? They took a very close shot. Very, very close shot. Up for the power bomb. On a bump. And also, Stang, our friend Stang, was wearing like long sleeve shirt and appeared potentially to be wearing a lot of padding. I'm not suggesting anything. I'm not alleging. I'm simply asking Luther to DM me what happened.
I mean, I honestly hope he had some good padding on for that. Like, bless him. He doesn't need to be taking that with no padding on. I don't think it was a gimmick shot though, like shooting a fireball out of your arm or anything. Like
it should have been. They should have had someone else take it.
They should have had the stunt double from WCW. Just bring him back to take the power bombs.
There you go. But no, you're right. It was, and I think we talk about good and bad heat a lot.
I think it was good heat in that, like, I actually gasped. And, like, I don't think that's a bad thing. Because the thing is, everyone's going to sell their cat. If we just assume he took the bump, like, we don't know what his health's like, right? Come on, like, it's not, you know, it's not pretend otherwise. But it was very effective, if nothing else.
It was super effective. Drew Nicholas says, I jumped off my couch when the back slammed into the mat. Love Sean's comparison to when Edge speared Elias. I mean, Edge speared Elias and, like, he hit the move. It showed that, all right, he can do something physical. Edge wasn't taking a power bomb bump for his first bump when he hadn't wrestled in however many years at that point. I guess it would have been like 9 years at that point. So it's a little bit different than him like spearing Elias. Sean's comparison's wrong. You should listen to us, not Sean.
I mean, to be fair, Sean's headphones never break in the middle of a show. So I don't know if that's true, but I do remember though that being a big gasp moment too.
Yeah, it was.
I get it. Yeah, I get it.
It was. I mean, bless Sting. I'm now worried about, again, what he's going to do at the pay-per-view.
Sting, you mean?
Sting? Yeah.
I hope he doesn't find himself up on like a higher, some sort of higher platform and then plummet in fire, in flames to his death. That'd be very sad.
Joseph, I already made this joke.
On this show?
Yeah, like 2 minutes ago.
I here?
Yeah.
Not ideal. You sure I was here?
Pretty sure.
Was it when I was ready to make Joel Pearl the new host of the show? Because if so,
that's not happening. It was when you just come back. Maybe your headphones weren't completely fixed by that point.
Yes, I believe that's the case. Because I mean, I am a terrible listener, but that would be next level. I don't feel I've done that a lot on this show. I've been doing it for a long time. Nonetheless, AEW, there it is, folks.
Anything else from AEW?
I've always been a good show. The tag title match wasn't as good as I thought it would be. But Riho and Serena was even better than I thought it would be, and the main event was as good as I thought it would be. So to conclude, it was a very good show. I mean, I think the women's, the Serena-Riho match I just mentioned, I don't want to keep referring to it as the women's match. Seems disrespectful. With that being said, it was probably the best women's match they've hosted on Dynamite, I would say. It gave me, like, Cruiserweight Classic on WCW Nitro vibes, man. It was awesome. Really good stuff.
Really? I like Britt and Sheeta from last year better.
What, with the nose and all that good business?
Yeah.
I'd need to rewatch it, maybe, yeah. I mean, they're both great. I just think Serena's so good. Like, she hasn't missed in these matches, man. She's been tremendous.
Yeah. Rob Wokan says, I love how the camera made it look like Sting regretted his decision immediately. Unless I missed it, did Shivani not yell out, Sting?
I'm not sure.
I don't remember.
I mean, the point Rob made initially was definitely true. It was a tremendous, like a reality check feel to it, didn't it? It was like, oh man, this, you're an old man, Sting.
Yeah. His selling of that was very good. I don't know how much of it was just selling and how much of it was, shit, that really hurt.
Imagine, like, that's the whole thing. Like, they sign Sting, and in the street fight, he just gets the shit kicked out of him. He's never seen again. They just write off Sting. Like, that was the idea. He just wanted to show you he's old. Leave him alone now. Let him retire. That would be good. That would be actually good. Let's just tell Luther about this. That would be good.
Switching gears to NXT. Guys, we did the NXT TakeOver post-show on Sunday, so we're not going to rehash a lot of that. Go check that out. Alex McCarthy, who stubbed us on some exclusives that he could have, you know, dropped on that show for us. Instead, just, you know, broke it on his own website, his own Twitter account. Like, we give him this platform, and then he's ungrateful.
He was despicable, frankly. I mean, he didn't name Drew McIntyre as his favorite NXT champion. He was just, honestly, I think we should ban him.
That's fair.
I mean, actually, no, I don't, because I think, you know, he's a good contact to have. So I'm going to say, Jeremy, leave Alex alone. That's what I'm saying. That's my take on this, actually.
You are enough Brit for me. I don't need more. All right, I don't need more. My mom can only understand Britt Baker's fine. My mom can only understand one Brit at a time. All right.
Can you get your mother to do a comparison between my voice and Alex's voice, please?
Yes, I'll do that. I'll have her listen to the TakeOver show, and then I will do Gary Cassidy's voice.
That's a dub. That's no need. That's like saying to LeBron, hey, can you get past like JJ Redick? Yes. Yes, I can. That's fine. Alex feels more formidable foe, you know? I feel I'll lose that one, but I want to see.
I will have her do a compare and contrast, and then I'll post the results on Twitter.
He's really over, man. Alex is a big deal.
Yeah.
He's a big, I mean, he's a numbers spiker, you know? In this business, you have guys, they retweet your stuff. Alex McCarvey retweets it. Oh, my.
He's got the blue tick. I mean, that's what it is.
Game changer. Yeah. He's over, man. I'm telling you, he's the game Triple H of our industry.
Yeah, that's mean, Joseph. That's mean.
He loves the game. He loves the game. He
does.
He'll take it as a compliment. That's all that matters, Alex, right?
NXT last night, Wednesday night, closed with Adam Cole taking out Kyle O'Reilly and Finn Balor, standing tall with the NXT Championship. I thought this closing angle was great. I love the Undisputed Era split. I did not completely care for the opening segment. I like Kyle's promo. I like Roddy's portion. Once like Finn came out and then it was they were attacked by Kings of NXT and it kind of turned into – it basically turned into an angle that didn't have as much to do with Undisputed Era. I could have lived without it. I want to see like the Undisputed Era split and Adam Cole chasing the title. Move on from the Pete Dunne stuff.
Interesting. I agree with Traverse, the opening segment. To me, was a very good example. Well, not bad by any means. It was a very good example of like where that presentation falls short. Because rather than it being like, let's imagine the show opens on a sort of NWA Power-esque podium, right? And it's Kyle O'Reilly with a microphone. He's shouting down the camera and he's saying, you know, want answers. Roddy walks in. Finn walks in. Okay, that's one thing. There's a sense of chaos. When everyone's music's hitting and when everyone's doing their dialogue, it just feels so like it immediately went from being red hot angle to, okay, now we're back in the playbook. You know, now we're back just doing another segment. The archetype segment we've seen a million times over for different reasons. It didn't fit. Whether that you think their dialogue was good or not, or their delivery was good, I just thought it limited the angle. I like the match they closed with, even though I get your concern. I think in this is not a knock. Please don't get upset at me, NXT fans. Do you not think the whole Kyle O'Reilly thing is like a really good encapsulation of how few people watch that show on social? Because like when I watched the show, I was like, oh man, we got like why did we sell this Kyle O'Reilly thing? But the talent was too, so maybe not. Maybe that's why we sold it. But like it made perfect sense that they would do the angle after watching the match. But we're not watching it. I didn't know they did any of that stuff. I was worried about Cole. I don't know. It's strange.
Well, let's get into that. I missed the whole discourse that happened after it. I saw NXT. I saw the pump kick, which looked like it killed him. And then I saw the brain buster, which was very good as well. And then I logged off. I come back on. People are saying that O'Reilly had suffered a seizure. They saw him get stretchered out. They were very concerned with like wrestlers were tweeting concern. Like Mia Yim, Dakota Kai, they were all tweeting concern for Kyle O'Reilly. And then Ryan Satin put out there, it was just an angle. Like things are fine. And then O'Reilly kind of played into the angle more today. People got concerned also because like Triple H was out there like in his street clothes and like overseeing him getting stretchered off. So they're like, oh man, he's really concerned. I think two things here. First, the footage, like if you're going to do this, like get the footage out there immediately so people know it's an angle off of that. Second, it just seemed like it was a Twitter overreaction because people used the word seizure and O'Reilly with his diabetic history, they came concerned. That's fine. That's great. Like people should have been concerned for O'Reilly with all of that. But like, I think the footage should have been out there a little bit quicker to just let everyone know, hey, this is a completely an angle. Like that's why they gave it to Satin of like, hey, tell everyone everything. It's fine. Like you're our guy. Tell everyone it's fine. I thought the angle, like it's great. The fact that there was like this genuine concern for him is great. I just hate how the genuine concern came about.
Yeah. And again, it's like, so obviously the most important thing is O'Reilly's good, which was everyone's concern. But it was interesting that, like, from my perspective, as someone who just watched Dynamite, I knew Kyle would wrestle in the main event. But just reading it, firstly, shows you how quickly in our minds we just believe shit, which is bad. Or, like, me included. So, to me, it was like, okay, he's wrestled a match, then he has collapsed. This sounds terrible. But again, like, after watching it, it was like, okay, I get it. I think there's a debate to be had about, like, who this. Because when you send Triple H out there, it's the equivalent of when you do the X thing, where it's like, we're trying to work the fans that are in on the bit, right?
I agree, but like Triple H was out there for like the McAfee, Adam Cole pull apart. So like he'll get involved in this sort of stuff. And obviously that whole thing was an angle. I think it does add like an element of, you know, realness to it. And okay, then you can go to, all right, well, who are you trying to fool here? But like, I don't think you can have it both ways of, hey, we want our wrestling to be like more real and, you know, less kind of over the top scripted stuff. And then try to do something like this where you're trying to get actual sympathy and actual concern on somebody by doing an angle like this and then being mad when that's the end result of it.
I think, but the key is what you mentioned about posting the footage, right?
Yes.
So if this airs on the show, it works no one.
Right.
So then, but then does that make it less effective? Clearly, by not doing it on the show and not posting on social, the idea was, and this is not a criticism, that's what wrestling is. It's pulling the wool over people's eyes. I get it. What I'm saying is, though, is, I'm not talking to you, Jeremy, I'm talking to Jeremy. What I'm saying is by doing it that way, where you do it after the show, knowing you have fans there, you're clearly like, you know someone's going to post this. So you want to get genuine concern. That's fine. He's a babyface. I understand it. I'm just wondering if this is a very interesting moment where we should actually look at like is the people that watch NXT, just imagine, okay, this goes perfectly. No one thinks seizure, and everyone's like, oh shit, it's Carl okay? And he comes back in 2 weeks, and then they say, okay, at this date, he's wrestling Adam Cole. Does the network subscription number go up 1 point, 1,000, one man, if it's, you know, if people believe that 2 weeks ago Carl was legitimately hurt? I have no clue. This is obviously old as wrestling gets. This is what you do, right? You convince people. Does the audience today, particularly the people that watch NXT, because we know it's more niche audience, do they want to be fooled? Is the interesting part of this conversation. And I'm not saying there's right or wrong. I'm just thinking, I think it's a real thing. Because you could see the response yesterday. It was like, hey, don't do that to me. It's interesting. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if they want to be fooled or not, really. I'm not like, Joel Pearl, do you want to be fooled? NXT guy Joel Pearl? Like, do you want to be fooled by this? Like, I like it. You know, if it didn't create the concern that it created, I think it's great. Because I do, me, personally speaking, I like when there's an element of, you know, what's kind of real here, kind of not. Yeah, if they do it to close the show, obviously it becomes a thing of, it's an angle. If you release the footage immediately afterwards, you still know it's an angle. I like, the biggest thing is that the fan just used the word seizure, and then people took that and were like, oh man, you know, because of his history, it's like, oh man, this isn't good at all. Like, if people are just like posting photos and stuff and there is a concern about it, and then like they release the footage, and then they O'Reilly posts the update and stuff, then I don't think it's that bad. Because then, like, once they release the footage, once O'Reilly posts his update today, be like, oh, my neck's hurt and everything, then you know it's an angle, right? Like the Adam Cole Pat McAfee stuff, like people were legitimately fooled by that. Of, oh man, is this an angle or not? Like, what's going on? And by a couple hours later, once they kept tweeting about it and stuff, it's like, okay, this is clearly an angle. Once it's like, McAfee's going to show up, okay, it's clearly.
Here's the thing though. The McAfee deal is different because to get Pat's audience, you needed to have a promo exchange that felt authentic, right? This, doing it that way meant that the people that would know Carl got stretched out until next week were the people that are like firmly in the bubble. It's like when you would do the thing of like leaking, this guy's left the promotion and he hasn't. It's that deal, right? You're working within that niche, which isn't bad or good. I'm just saying that's what it was, I think. The McAfee, I think, was more of a publicity stunt. You know, yeah. I think there's a deal, but I get what you're saying. It's just, I remember vividly being at Gargano and Ciampa. And everyone's booing Ciampa, and it was great. People kept saying it's old school heat, but it wasn't, was it? Because like, look, I was there. I'm promise you, Jeremy. No one was in the car park ready to kill Tommaso Ciampa. Okay, and guess what? I think that's good. I think wrestling fans, if you give them a story that's compelling, will play their part willingly, without, you know, without ever questioning whether or not they're watching is real or fake. But is it as sincere an emotion as if you really fool people, this guy's hurt, which, as we just established, among the NXT audience, as soon as his stretcher angle is on television, every person that watches NXT goes, that's just another angle. I've seen this a million times before. Wrestling's in a weird time now, man. I don't know what I'm saying is he's like, is, you know, back in the tradition, in the historic mindset, it's like you do an angle like that to evoke emotions. People put their money on the table and say, I'm going to go buy a ticket. Obviously, now you can't do that anyway. But like, even if you could, does it affect business? I have no clue. I honestly don't.
How would you have handled it, Joseph? Like, what would you have done?
Me, I would have done the exact angle they did, just on camera. But then that goes into the problem we just touched on of like, but then does anyone buy it? Probably not. You know? It's like, you aren't causing any trouble by doing that, but you're also just playing so within the guidelines that no one really buys it. You're just doing an angle for the sake of it. But then the problem is, when you do things like this, not this in particular, but just if you generally do stuff where you're working the bubble, fam, then the problem is when real shit happens, people question everything. And we've seen it to disgusting levels, right? Where terrible things happen and fans go, hang on a second. What? I can't dismiss that, fam, because the art of wrestling is fooling people. Historically, that's what wrestling is. It's pulling the wool over people's eyes. I need to stress again, I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I just think we all need to kind of like try and figure out what wrestling is, what the audience is, who we try to work and what for. I don't know. I thought it was an interesting point in the timeline almost. Even though, thankfully, the biggest thing is Carl's okay, I did think, what could have happened here? Would it have been good for business? Or does it now just remove goodwill for the more cynical fan that's like, oh, bullshit, and they don't really read the, you know, they wasn't trying to get a seizure angle over. I get that. But some fans won't look into it that much. They're just like, oh, they were lying to us. No clue.
That's where fans, like, you're not going to appeal to every fan, obviously. Right. That's where, you know, certain fans just aren't going to like, it's not going to connect with them with that. Mm. They're not trying to work a seizure angle. JJ makes a point, and I was going to make a similar point. Like, you know, before social media and everything, if you run this angle, it's out. They'll show the footage next week and you're like, okay, it's clearly an angle and stuff. There's nothing to like blow it up even more. Maybe you put out there on .com that like, hey, this happened after the show or whatever. Again, if it was me, I would have done the angle and I would have posted it on social pretty like an hour or two afterward. Because this is what they did after TakeOver. They had like extra footage from TakeOver, from the attack and whatnot. And AEW does this all the time where they have, oh, here's the backstage footage like after the show is over. Posted an hour or two after. It just became a thing because people just blew it up for it.
Like, right.
I don't know who they were trying to work because they didn't clue. And Hannah says, so for me, I had friends there that kept saying it was clear he wasn't okay. And then friends backstage that were concerned too. No one had any idea. Again, Dakota Kai, Mia Yim were tweeting like, hey, I hope he's okay. And I think that made it worse for the fans who do genuinely care, which is a lot of them on social media.
Okay.
And then you're not working. I mean, you are working like your own talent and stuff, but like, I don't see an issue with that.
Mm-hmm. At least something like this. About. Yeah.
Like I don't see it because like you shouldn't have to clue everybody in. Like, don't hold a big meeting backstage and be like, hey, we're going to do the stretcher angle after the show. Like, you don't have to do all that.
So this is the thing is, you know, better than I, like, it's a big topic for wrestling history. Like when you work the boys, right. Which is, you know, obviously a tale as old as time, but what was interesting about here was, again, if no talent tweets anything about Kyle, we all then know it's bullshit. So whether they, for all we know, the talent was working with, you know, I don't know if Hannah spoke, so I don't know for everyone, but like, take Dakota. This, for all we know, she was standing next to Kyle when she tweeted it. I don't know the situation, right? But what she did effectively was, in a professional wrestling sense, she made us believe the angle. That's the idea. But it certainly felt as though, being on social last night, it didn't have the effect that we're used to having. So, for example, JJ said about Once Upon a Time, you do that angle in your TV studio for a show that's coming out that night, say, okay, and you're going to be back next week. The people that were there are going to leave the arena and say to their friends, I really got stretched out. That's as much as you get. There's a real mystique to that, right? It's like, oh, what happened? With social, as JJ pointed out, I don't know if any of us have figured out the right or wrong way. Because the problem is, if you just do stuff that the audience will like and your heels are very much part of the show, pantomime villains, you end up in a predicament where you can argue there's no heat. And I wouldn't disagree. Like, for example, Kenny Omega on AEW, okay? He's irritating, right, as a character. He does a good job. No one in the AEW audience hates him. No, not one person. My fandom is at a point where I'm fine with that. I think that's where wrestling's going anyway. Cool. You boo him, you know, wink, wink. Very wink, wink wrestlers now. But when he loses the title, will there be the same amount of passion there is when a hated villain loses it? I have no clue. I don't know. I can't speak with the whole audience. But there is an evolution of sorts among the fans' relationship with the art that I don't know if any of us have got a good grip on. I certainly don't. Clearly, I'm trying to talk about the last 20 minutes. Like, it's complex, right? It is interesting. Like, my instinct's what you say. They try to work us. Good.
I think the issue, at least in this situation, is just the term seizure and O'Reilly being diabetic. If people just post a photo of him, you know, just being attended to, looking in rough shape and everything, and then even wrestlers are tweeting like, oh man, I hope O'Reilly's okay, and there's that concern for him, then in like a wrestling sense of, oh, did he get hurt during this angle? Did he get, you know, did the brainbuster hurt him? Did the pump kick hurt him? Did he get hurt as part of what happened on television? I think that's good concern. And then especially after, again, you post the footage, you post O'Reilly posts his update and everything. I think that's fine. It's when you throw in like the seizure term that people, like, the concern shoots up tenfold.
Yeah. I also think it's important to defend them in the sense that, not important, I don't give a shit, but like, in fairness to them, this wasn't a case where they did a match, O'Reilly was fine, and then as the show went off the air, he collapsed, and people went, oh my God, he's had a seizure. It was, as you just mentioned, within the fabric of the match that Carwood got seriously damaged.
Yeah.
So it wasn't... The key is, though, is, and again, I don't want to keep going in circles, so I apologize for watching this, but what's interesting is my way of doing it wouldn't have fooled anyone. Jeremy's way of doing it would have fooled people for an hour or so, but I still think when you post it on social, everyone goes, he's fine. But what they actually had to do was just send it as a news story, which honestly fools even less people. So the real way of doing it for he, as absurd as this sounds, but yes, folks, this is the what we watch every week, would have been just being dead quiet and let people worry about poor Kyle O'Reilly. Again, whether that works.
Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day. And Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything and you won't believe how simple it is.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Focus of your 600,000 people. I have no clue. I'm just someone trying to figure it out. But it is certainly an evolving relationship between the audience and the performers. It's very odd. I don't know.
Drew Nicholas says, a classic stretcher angle, but Kyle is such a great seller with a legit medical history that people were worried. As you said, social media took off. Don't know who really is to blame. I don't know if you don't have to blame anybody.
No, I don't think it's an interesting conversation. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I don't think there is anybody to blame. Like, I don't blame O'Reilly for selling it. I don't blame his coworkers and fans for being concerned. I don't blame WWE for doing it like this. Their intent was not to have it blow up in a seizure kind of a way.
Yeah, and also
I think that's who blame is the guy who didn't actually know what was going on and said it was a seizure.
That's very fair. I think, but I also think we always say that brand needs a hot angle. they just got a hot angle, and this was a, in theory, a hot follow-up to that angle.
Yeah.
So I can't question it. I just think it is fascinating. Clearly the intention was, by doing it off-air, this will create some sense of doubt, which is what, again, wrestling is about. So it just it's it seems like that audience, more than ever, just they don't want to have doubt. And I get it, man. I was very worried last night. Like, my initial reaction was, oh, that's bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I do wonder what this next kind of dynamic is for the industry. Because it feels like it's changed a lot. It really does.
Hannah said the first guy just said he was being tended to by doctors, and some dude stole one pick, claimed it was a seizure. He wasn't even there. Like,
right.
To me, that's the issue. I think running these types of angles are completely fine, and especially if you can get like some genuine concern out of it. Because in the end, like, we're going to know when it's an angle and when it's not. And I don't think, at least my opinion, I don't think wrestling fans are going to be mad if they get worked. And I think this is kind of a discussion. Are wrestling fans going to be mad if they get worked? I don't think wrestling fans would get mad if they get worked.
It's definitely better than, you know, when like I mentioned earlier, it's better than a promotion leaking information that's false to do a swerve that is purely like inside baseball. You know, like this guy's going, his contract's expired and his contract hasn't expired. You're just popping people that read like our shit. You know, like this is an actual wrestling angle because it's an injury, which works very much within the fabric of a feud. So I agree. In theory, I'm totally with it. I just, man, like, do we think they won here? It seems like they lost. I don't know. It seems like this was the opposite of what they needed. I don't know.
Yeah, but that, it does seem like it was the opposite, but I don't put that on them. Like, I think they were trying to do the right thing. It just, unfortunately, the way it played out, it kind of backfired on them. But
here's a question. Do you think if it happens on Raw or SmackDown, do you think there's a difference?
Well, Bruce isn't coming out there in his t-shirt and jeans and looking over the Fiend Bray Wyatt as he's been burnt alive and being like,
right,
hose him off, take him to the hospital, take him to the fire department.
I honestly do think that if AEW wasn't on this week and we all watched NXT, I truly believe, even with that dude's seizure tweet, which obviously, yeah, that was dumb, I truly believe we would have, more of us would have got it.
Yeah,
I just didn't realize that it was a thing that when the show had went off the air, it was established Carl was messed up. You know? So it's very complex. I don't know, dude. It's
he's like two monitors, time. Joseph. You got to watch both shows at once.
No, never ever done that. it's a weird one. We've spoken about it for long enough. I get that, but I'm interested in what people think of it because the reactions after it had been revealed, you know, in pretty, again, not knocking anyone, but it's pretty transparent how it was revealed, right? It was like, just finish this talk now.
Yeah.
I was just left sitting there like, man, I don't know. Maybe they could have just done the stretcher angle on TV and no one would have bought it, but no one would have been upset. I have no clue. I don't know what wrestling is at this point. Are we just watching exhibition matches between people like? Is that what we're doing? Do any of us have
I watch AEW.
Yeah, do we have the same sincere emotional connection to the results that we would have if we actually hated one of these people? No clue. Not an idea. Absolutely no clue.
Joseph, what do you make of Kyle O'Reilly now? Like, you've hyped him up as a big time baby face and you think they're going to put the belt on him at some point. I really think they're going to do Cole and Finn at WrestleMania. I think you can hold it off that long. If not, I think you can do Cole and O'Reilly at WrestleMania. I think you got to put that NXT title on one of these WrestleMania nights.
I think you do. I think you would do a Balor title defense on one and O'Reilly and Cole on the other would be my suggestion.
Oh, so you get two NXT matches.
That's what I would do. And I would also do an EO match too, personally. I mean, it's the third brand, right? That's what you tell me all the time. Jeremy Lambert. Come on.
And that's what they tell me.
Yeah. I love the idea of you telling me. It'd be great. I just think, for as many people as the main roster has, in fear of sound dismissive, I don't know how many interesting matchups there are to make with these people on Raw and SmackDown at this point, Jeremy.
it's difficult. You know, there's not like
20 multi-man matches, 20 multi-women matches.
There you go. Like, it's just, you know, like, what singles matches are jumping off the page for you? Like, we know the guys are going to get them, right? Like, Randy will be in something. AJ will be in something. Who on SmackDown will be in the non-title stuff? Brian and Seth, probably, something like that?
Yeah.
I'm sure you can find space for 3 matches from NXT on a 2-day show. Maybe not, though. Even I think there's a very good chance what you said is true, which is that Cole is going to win the belt. Finn will move. Because Finn's seemingly said today he thought he was going to be in NXT for 3 months. So,
this isn't seemingly, Joseph. I transcribed the quote. Give me some credit here.
Credit to Jeremy. He transcribed the quote. So in that sense... it could very well be that Finn drops the belt and moves on up again. Sorry, sideways to one of the other brands. And then you would have Kyle chasing Cole. Kyle was an interesting fit as top babyface because he's not like, you know, he's not a natural promo guy. But like, is that really a thing at this point on that show? Like, I mean, I love Finn, but yeah, like he wasn't, you know, Finn wasn't Dusty Rhodes, was he?
Finn's talking like, about cats and mouse and stuff.
Exactly. So, I mean, his in-ring's obviously remarkable. I'd be happy for Carl for that. I also think it would be fun if Carl stays as top babyface and after he beats Carl, the other 3 guys go up as a trio for the main roster. So there's 101 ways to do it. I think it should be good pro wrestling regardless. The key is, and again, credit to them, they try to do it this week by hook or by crook, it's having interest in television. It's been a problem for them, for me, since I went to USA, I think. It's just stuff. Matches and a big cycle of just like, okay, then they're going to wrestle this. We need angles. And if it takes stuff like this that maybe backfired, you gambled, it didn't go as you hoped. Social media makes things different. I understand that. But you do need, you know, an emotional pull and a hook to these things. It can't just be, we're on a road to this match that will be very good. You need a little bit more of that. So they tried this week. I think they're on the right track.
I like your idea of doing 2 NXT matches. And if they can get an EO match, like if you can do, I don't know if Raquel is quite ready to get that WrestleMania spot against EO one-on-one for the title. And I know you're not high on Tony Storm, and I don't know if you want to stretch out EO and Tony to go all the way to WrestleMania, but an EO match would certainly be a good fit on one of the WrestleManias as well. Go ahead.
I've seen the suggestion of Bayley, which is interesting.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have a problem with that because you've got, you know, the history of last year, a major star winning the NXT title.
Right.
You can have some fun with that. Like, I mean, obviously, Bayley's, you know, Charlotte had a good run in NXT, obviously, don't get me wrong. Bayley is like the ultimate, right, in NXT, you would say. Yes. I mean, it could be good stuff. I mean, I wouldn't even be opposed to her winning it, but I would be actually because Charlotte did it. That's the only reason. But the idea in itself in a vacuum is fun. I mean, that'd be good. Like, EO and Bayley, I think, would be a great match for Mania. So. We'll see what they do, but I think it's important that these top tier NXT talents get at least a shot at Mania. You know, I think it's important development for the brand.
Balor said he wants to wrestle. Balor didn't even know it was a 2-night Mania. He was like, I heard there's rumors that it's going to be a 2-night Mania. And Corey Graves is like, yeah, that's confirmed, man. Like, that's confirmed. And Balor's talking like there's going to be a takeover the night before all of this. Finn's very out of the loop, it would seem like, with what's going on the other 2 brands.
Yeah. It's very obvious that he's just like, he's not by any means phoning it in because I think he's doing his best work, but he definitely is at a different point of his life. He's like, dude, just leave me alone. I'm going to do my matches. Just leave me to it. I don't need to hear about all this shit. It's good stuff. I love the Finn.
He said he wants to wrestle both. He said he wanted to wrestle TakeOver and then wrestle at WrestleMania. Again, I don't think he realizes there's probably not going to be a TakeOver. So let Finn wrestle both nights at WrestleMania. Let him wrestle Cole one night and then O'Reilly the next night, whatever. I like that, though. If you do Cole and O'Reilly singles match, no NXT title, who's facing Finn?
I mean...
know the answer, Joseph.
Yeah, we both know the answer. We don't have to do it on there. We both know TikTok and all that good stuff. Or you could do Cole and O'Reilly on night one, winner faces Finn.
There you go.
Also do that.
Yeah, I like that.
That could be a star-making moment for one of those 2 guys. Right? It could be pretty cool.
Oh, it could easily be. And this is where, like, if you want to really put O'Reilly as that guy, like, you have him beat Adam Cole, the guy who held the title for the longest, the guy who always overshadowed him in Undisputed Era, and then he beats Finn, who's beaten him twice already the next night.
Yes.
Like, that's you're putting O'Reilly over. Like, you're really making him the ace of the company then.
I would be really tempted to do that and then move both Cole and Finn on immediately. Because I don't think the number is like, I get it, I don't want to lose star power, but let's be honest, like, it's the people are going to watch the NXT that watch it, right? Like, it isn't like they're going to do some big casual viewer. I think that would be the way. Then who would you have? Like, I guess you'd have Dunn still as one of the top heels, right? Like, yeah. you could adjust. Cross is still there.
You can move guys from Raw and SmackDown over to NXT.
Of course. You should have been doing this ages ago, of course. Like, imagine how good a Miz run would be where he gets all red faced. This is the thing, it frustrates me very much. They have the structure of like a global territory system. They just refuse. They won't do it. Like, Dolph and Miz have to be on Raw and SmackDown forever. Never ever will they move on. Very sad.
Now, why couldn't you move Dolph just over to NXT? He'd have some great matches there. Cesaro, you know, Brian wants to work NXT. Like, you know, he just wants to go there and face these younger guys and just have great 20-minute matches with them.
Only if he gets the pencil, brother. He only takes the territory of his book in these days. Very different times with Dan Bryan.
I hope we get an NXT presence at WrestleMania. It's a third brand. That's what everyone says. It's a third brand. Joseph, I don't want to move on to Elimination Chamber yet, and we've still got a couple minutes before O'Neal's Corner 3. Let's talk some basketball.
Okay, we can do that. I mean, we won last night, so I'm fine to do that. If you asked me a day ago, I'd be like, no, we're not talking about basketball. We haven't done basketball in a long time,
Joe. Yeah, I know. We've actually like killed time with wrestling. Wait, what has the show become? We've talked about wrestling.
We just did like 30 minutes on just an absolute nothing. Like, not even a topic. It was just talk about like inside baseball bullshit. So here's the thing, Jeremy. The Sixers, actually good. Not fake good, actually good.
Actually good.
Yes.
Real life. Is Embiid going to win MVP? I feel like that talk is cooled a little bit.
It's because he misses games.
Yeah.
And also because LeBron James, Atomic dropped him, left him on his spine hanging. So, you know, I hurt his physical health a little bit. Ben Simmons is now a 40-point scorer. He's averaging 40. I just think, like, you look at Tobias Harris and you kind of like, if you're in the wrong state of mind, you may go like, okay, Tobias is a good basketball player. But if you're on and you're looking properly, you realize he is Michael Jordan. And then when you pair that with Danny Green, who is like, he's like painting on defense, railing on offense. And then you have Seth Curry, who's basically Steph Curry, right? Basically. Effectively. Like, you're, I mean, especially.
A couple letters different, really.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, he just missing a P. Yeah, he's just missing a P. Missing playoff P.
Yeah, yes. I was very confusing because I was thinking of the T in my mind, and I was like, T, the P. I was trying to spell his name. It was very tough. Two. My apologies. But yes, the Steph Curry is good, but the Seth Curry is better. And you look at all this, you go, well, do they have a bench? And you look over, and all of a sudden, Dwight Howard's shoulders tower over you. And you go, granted, he can't catch the ball. He can't finish at the rim. He can grab a rebound, though, Jeremy. He can grab a rebound.
That's all I need
and
to
then
do.
You go, what about a little bit of Shake Milton? And he starts beating people off the dribble. Tyrese Maxey only shoots floaters, exclusively shoots floaters, nothing else, not that banned. Okay? You look at Mike Scott, you go, well, he's been shit for 2 years, but when he gets hot, who knows, right? Who knows? I think we're winning the championship is what I'm telling you. That's what I'm getting at here, Jeremy. I studied it close. We have Furkan and Korkmaz, who's one of the greatest players ever played the game. He's our eighth man or whatever. I'm looking at this. Ben Simmons is averaging 50. Best defender in the league. The first true thing I've said. Ben Simmons is actually the best defender in the league. Like, actually.
He's very
the rest
good.
Of it may be
I mean, like, Lou Dort still exists, so let's not go crazy.
It depends what you're talking here. I mean, if you're talking about, like, funny Twitter clips, Lou Dort, because he does the thing with a hand. Yeah? But Ben can guard, you know.
Ben can guard all positions. Yeah. Lou can guard 1-3. Power forward, center is a little tough, but, like, Lou's still very good.
I'm not knocking Lou, though. All I'm saying is I think we're the best basketball team ever.
What about the Jazz? Are you sold on them?
I've only really watched them when they played us, and they beat us, but, like, it wasn't – I mean, they were teams, so that wasn't super impressive, you know? Embiid wasn't playing.
Yeah, Embiid wasn't playing in that game. I still have a tough time buying into the Jazz, and it's probably one of those things, and, like, until they prove it in, like, the playoffs, I'm just never going to be sold on them, and that's unfair to them, but, like, that's just – that's how these things go. Donovan Mitchell's like actually taken that next step. bless him. He's actually taken the next step in my mind. He's not just giving ISOs on Carmelo Anthony.
I mean, you look at what they've got, and it's like, this isn't a case of kind of one of those things like, well, how are they winning this? Well, they have a very good basketball team. I just think it's not sexy enough for some of us, right? Like, we're too busy talking about like big threes and all this bullshit, you know?
It's like, you don't win 9 straight games, whatever they've won. They've won, like, outside of like a loss to the Nuggets, they've won like 20 of their last 21 or something.
Yeah,
like,
I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty insane. You don't do that unless you're a good basketball team. It feels very Atlanta Hawks-esque, where they're doing a lot of these good things. They're doing it well as a team. You get to the playoffs, and I mean, maybe Mitchell can hold his own, but like, Donovan Mitchell might have to be even better than he's been in the regular season. Cause I don't know if these guys are going to hold up when you're talking about going up against LeBron and Kawhi and all these guys.
We have mere minutes here before the show hits an all time low. So let's do this now. Okay. We're on 18th of February, 2021. What's the finals matchup this year, Jeremy?
Lakers and Bucks.
Bucks?
Yeah, I still like the Bucks. I think once Jrue Holiday gets healthy, I think they'll figure it out.
My honest opinion is the Nets because...
Oh, I forgot about the Nets because like they're so injury-riddled that I feel like I haven't seen them enough. Yeah, Lakers-Nets, you're right. They have too much firepower.
Yeah, and it's like every buyout guy is going to just be like desperate to go Brooklyn, right? Like it feels like I know it's easier said than done. I get it because they have nothing to trade. Like I do understand it, but it feels like they have too much top tier talent to just let this season like flow. It feels like they're going to do everything they can to add just enough around these guys, you know. So I think they'll win the East, regrettably so. The Bucks are interesting. I don't know. I'd need to watch them more closely. I haven't seen as much of the other teams this year, Jeremy, I must admit. And I'm not like some people. I will not pretend and slander very talented basketball players just for the sake of a Twitter brand. Speaking of such, Robert O'Neill's back. Come on.
Bud Ryan says, love to you. Love you too, lads. Been a great show with textbook malfunctions. Yes. Even my words. Have a fantastic day, everyone. Joe, your 76ers are taking the East. See, Bud Ryan believes in the Sixers. Simmons and Embiid.
Oh, hell yeah. That was very good. Joseph. That was a good super chat. Oh,
Joseph, do you know what time it is?
It's 4-3.
Time for Robert O'Neill's Corner 3.
Huh? What just happened?
You're playing again? Ripped? Here we go. Here we go, Joseph. Let's play it one more time. The intro. History final.
Bang! Jeremy, I have been on this show for 14 months. I've never had a musical intro. I've never had a sound clip intro of Mike Breen saying bang. I've never had visuals.
You've had visuals, Joseph.
Not like that. The man's got his own logo. Granted, it, you know, it is what he is, but... What are we doing? Jeremy, a week ago, you didn't want him on the show ever again. You said he killed the territory. Twitch numbers were down. Everyone was upset. I was getting heat in the fight from territory. They said, why did you book him? I said, I know he can't work, but he can draw. Nick, I come back. I log off. I log back on. Jeremy says, he's got a new segment on the show every single week. I said, what's going on here? He said, now here's a logo. Here's Mike Breen.
I made this logo, and I was very proud of the low effort that I put into it. And last night at like 2 a.m., I thought, I can clip Mike Breen saying bang and then do it as like a little mini intro.
Do it again. I'm
so proud of this. Do you know what the actual clip is for this? I'll play it again. Here we go. History final,
bang! Is it the famous Steph Curry one? No, that's not against the funder. You wouldn't do that. I don't know, no.
It's Ray Allen's Corner 3.
Oh, of course. The heat, right, yeah. I was listening to me like... that's tremendous. That's extraordinary. I can't believe we're doing this for Robert O'Neill. Here we go.
Here we go, everybody. Robert O'Neill is here. Hello, Robert O'Neill.
What's up, guys?
Robert O'Neill, you got 3 minutes. You are here to review Young Rock, the pilot episode. Your time starts now.
Yeah, so let me just say, I expected to not like this show very much, but it grew on me over the course of a half hour. You know, a lot of people have been wondering, what was The Rock like when he was a child? You know, you go down the street, everyone asks you that, you hear it all the time. So, you know, NBC is kind of letting us take a little bit of a look at that, and I appreciate that. So this pilot episode is called Working the Gimmick. So we start off in 2032, where The Rock is telling Randall Park kind of all about his life, because he's running for president, which probably something that's going to happen at some point. So we go back to Rocky Johnson having a match, you know, back in the day. And Young Rock is like, oh, my dad is so over. The crowd loves him. That's a little bit of an inside wrestling term for you there. Over. So, you know, we finish a match and Rocky Johnson's like, hey, you know, you have to work your gimmick. If you work a gimmick hard enough, it becomes real. And that's something that a lot of wrestlers have found out over the years. So we go to Young Rock's grandmother's house and, you know, Junkyard Dog and Afa and Sika and Andre the Giant are all hanging out over there. I thought that was pretty cool. And, you know, Afa and Sika being there gives me hope that we will see young Roman Reigns at some point. Kind of the Young Rock extended universe here. So, you know, The Rock is like, oh, wrestling has so many rules, it's all fake anyway. So Andre the Giant gets up and picks him up, and he's like, hey, man, cut the shit. And I thought that was pretty cool. So, you know, Rocky Johnson was going to take Young Rock for ice cream, but he couldn't go because Andre the Giant is investing in a tiki bar. Rocky Johnson had to go check that out. So then we flash forward a little bit, and he's a little bit older now, and he's like, you know, I'm going to high school in Pennsylvania. I need a car. So he buys a car, and it ends up having, like, a homeless guy living in it. This is the part where it gets kind of weird. So there's this guy living in the car, and The Rock's going to a party with his friend because he's trying to impress this girl, but the homeless guy's like, hey, man, I used to be like you. You have to have your priorities in order. So he leaves the party and goes to pick up his mom instead. And then this guy, like, dies in the car. So that was weird. So then we jump one more time where he gets a little bit older again. So we're in 1990 now, and he's in Miami playing football. And we get Ed Orgeron perfectly casted. I don't know. You guys know Ed Orgeron. He's got a very distinct voice. I think they nailed it. And as it turns out, Rocky Johnson was there earlier in the day kind of putting The Rock over to the whole team. So he's got this high expectation already. They're like, oh, you're going to be on a Wheaties box. Your dad told us. So The Rock calls his dad, and he's like, hey, man, why'd you do that? Also, why didn't you stay and see me? And he's like, oh, I didn't need to. You know, I propped you up. So
that has been Robert O'Neill's Corner 3. History final.
It's the funniest thing that he did play my play. Oh no, this is the end. I can't do it anymore.
O'Neill, you can leave. I see you're backstage. You're done. 3 minutes, buddy. That's it. That's the segment. Geez.
He was doing the enough. Well, that was pretty cool. I thought that was pretty cool. Oh my goodness, I thought I was going to pass out. Wow, Jeremy, that was infinitely better than I thought it would be. That's a weekly segment. Robert did actually, he was reading like a script. Wow, we've peaked. It's the end. I know you're going to want me to wait in Elimination Chamber or something, but I don't know what you want me to do. It was the transitions from one story to the next that he made. He was just going, I thought that was pretty cool. And then Rocky Johnson, and he's like, there was no for us to talk. We just sat there and listened to him read dialogue. That was like a WWE promo. It rolls so hard. It's the best thing we've ever done. It's broke us both. It's all over. O'Neill is the star of the show. I was wrong all along. Hey, we both need a reset. Play the intro again, please. History title, bang! Oh shit. Oh Jesus. Wow. Oh, wow, what a moment. Truly what dreams are made of, that was. Right? So
Elimination Chamber, Joseph. Lacey Evans is pregnant. She's not facing Oscar.
Is that school? Are we certain of that? Have they announced that much, or what are we doing here?
We have no. I'm pretty sure they're still like advertising this match, but she's pregnant. Maybe she's gonna win the title while pregnant. Maria did it. Whatever.
Oh man, let's not talk ourselves into that. Let's try and book them out of this, Jeremy. Okay. There's a few different ways that can go here, right, Jeremy? My goodness. I think the obvious, as we discussed on the Twitch this Tuesday, is the Queen Charlotte Flair. You know, she has enough. She returns to her villainous ways. She takes opportunity. She wins the title. Away you go to WrestleMania for another match between those two. That's fine. That doesn't feel like the most inspiring option here. Or excellent. I would suggest this is where their inability to find something for Rhea Ripley could prove to be a positive. Because it seems to me that a position has just opened up. I think it's the time to do something bold with a division that has been just awful. Even with all that talent, it's just been terrible. I think you have Rhea come in and win the title. I think you build to a triple threat with Asuka and Charlotte, where she beats two of the absolute titans of that division, two of the greats, and I just think you commit to Rhea. I don't see any upside to doing Asuka and Charlotte again in the more traditional wrestling sense. Now, to be clear, I know that means nothing in WWE anymore, I get it, but there's a chance to make someone here, whereas Asuka and Charlotte is a retread, in my view. I think this is, I mean, it's an opportunity. Jeremy, what do you think?
I don't know. you're very high on this Rhea Ripley idea. Yes. And I just want to talk you down off of this Rhea Ripley idea. I don't think this is what's going to happen. If it does, great. It would definitely be great. I just don't think that's what they're going to do. I think it's either going to be Charlotte or... I'm holding off, or I'm holding out some hope that it's the Fiendess Alexa Bliss, and they actually circle back to that. Because I don't know if you remember this, Joseph, Bliss is a win over Asuka, and almost had another win, if not for an RKO that led to nothing.
So, just to be clear, you said you're holding out hope.
Holding out hope for the Fiendess. I want the title on the Fiendess.
Okay, what percentage of that is like... a perverse, this would be very funny for Twitter content.
100%.
100.
Okay. Yeah, you know I don't care about anything else. But right, yeah, I was thinking on Twitter.
That would be out of character for you to actually want such a thing. I think, let's be honest, dude, like, is it really worse than Charlotte winning it? Honestly, like, really?
The Fiendess winning it?
Yeah, like, is it really different? No. It's the same deal, right?
It's much better. Charlotte winning it is just okay. Charlotte's got it again.
Awesome. Yeah, I kind of agree. It's like it's a super boring route, the Charlotte. At least with the thing there, she's like, she's like a devil now and stuff. You know, let's be honest, like neither of us. Like if we give a shit an hour ago after what we just watched, like I think in all seriousness, we need to moving forward get all of serious wrestling conversation out of the way before O'Neill. Because like I don't think we can ever follow up O'Neill with just wrestling talk. But I have no. I mean, I want to be here like passionately, like yeah, Rhea Ripley, that's the choice. I don't care anymore. Who could possibly care? I want to hear about more about Rocky Johnson. You know, just incredible scenes. Okay, I've got some other options though. We'll continue with this. I mentioned Bayley a moment ago for Io Shirai. Bayley moving over to Raw as the top heel of the division. Your thoughts?
You said this on Tuesday, right? Or was it an off-air? You said it at some point while we've talked.
Tuesday, yeah.
Yeah. I'd be fine with it. I don't know what she's doing on SmackDown right now because it seems like Carmella's still in the title picture. Bianca's obviously there. Sasha's got the title. Maybe they're doing something with the women's tag team title since Nia and Shayna were on SmackDown last week. So, like, where is Bayley going to fit in over there? You move over to Raw, it freshens her up a little bit. Definitely need that fresh Asuka and Bayley match that we haven't seen a million times in 2020. So, sure.
Wow. That was very passive-aggressive towards Pam. Very, very sad.
I love on Pam. Love her.
Okay. Whoever you say, pal. Okay, I'll leave Twitter to deal with that.
She's tremendous on Twitter. She's one of my favorite people.
Okay. Is there anything we're missing? Is there actually a chance that Lacey's staying on screen? Because there, it feels like there is.
I think there's a good chance she's staying on screen. Like, they're still advertising this match. I'm on WWE.com right now. Like, it's still being advertised as Lacey versus Asuka. I think there's a very good chance she's staying on screen, because if not, they would have done, you know, the congratulations thing of, hey, congratulations, she's pregnant, you know, best wishes. Because that's what they did with Miro and Lana. Remember when Lana was cheating on Miro with Dolph Ziggler and it became a thing, and then they got like engaged or married like in the middle of the storyline. Like, oh, we got to drop this because they're actually like engaged in real life. So they gave them the big congratulations post, and then everyone got heat from it or whatever that story was. Like, I think there's a very good chance she's like actually staying on screen.
I just sort of always
kind of. What if Ric Flair wins the Raw Women's title?
And then do we count that as an official title, right?
Sure. The Raw Women's title is prestigious, right?
So then the only problem with that is Rick doesn't know what number he's on now. So you'd have to really, I mean, that would officially put him at 17, which then gives Charlotte another chance to win another one.
Yeah.
In her pursuit of
public. This is a long game right here. This is 4D chess long-term booking.
Are we missing any fun ideas here with this, or is it just shit? I don't know. Is it, like, honestly, like, this division is just... It genuinely pains me when I try and figure out where they're going, which is my personal favorite thing about wrestling, is trying to like figure out what's the route and all this stuff. And it is the absolute worst in that regard. It doesn't feel like they know at all.
Is there a chance that Taya Valkyrie comes in and they try to make her on night one?
No.
No? Okay. No,
I don't think so. I think Taya's, I like Taya, but I think she's going to just be like a woman on NXT. Just like a lot of the women are there, you know? Like, I think, and it's not a knock, she deserves more than anyone to cash that big old WWF check and grin wide. Happy for her, very happy. But I don't think they signed her and was like, game just changed, folks. Tell Bischoff is over. You know, I just don't. Like, it'd be cool, though. Maybe I'll be happy for her, but I just don't.
I don't think they signed her for that either, but they get this as an opportunity for them to actually do that. And it's Raw. We know Morrison's on Raw, so they like to keep couples together. I don't think it's going to happen, but like, it'd be nice if they did something different like that.
Sure. I'm for anything that is vaguely interesting.
Anything that's not Charlotte.
Yeah, honestly, that's the truth. Like, I even don't... Charlotte and Asuka as a match, to me, is like just... I know it's going to be great, but that's not everything wrestling's about. You know, there's got to be some intrigue to this shit. I couldn't care less. There's not a version of it I haven't seen, I don't think.
Right.
Because Asuka was a heel, right, when they last worked. Or she was at some point, because when she was doing the Kabuki stuff, she was a heel. Charlotte's always a heel, really.
Technically, right? Yes.
Yes. Charlotte's always the heel, regardless of what they're doing. You just feel, and they're like, what are you going? Like, okay, Asuka finally beat Charlotte. Okay, cool, then what? Because they've proven they have no ability to use her the way they need to as champ, because she doesn't fit their, like, they don't know how to do TV with her as champ, because she can't do 20-minute in-ring promos. That's the truth of it. Like, it's been a problem over and over again. They can't just do different stuff for it. It's either that, their way, or they do nothing at all with the character.
What if the Fiendess wins the belt?
Okay. Yeah.
And she has to sacrifice the belt to bring back the Fiend. And then we just don't have a Raw Women's title.
She just destroys it. Like, sacrifice the lever and such.
Yeah.
Oh, I think that's it. I think that's the winner. The Fiendess is... did you see the YouTube comments stressing their concern for the Fiendess?
No, definitely after not.
She played with fire when it comes to the...
Why would I read YouTube comments, Joseph?
It was a viral tweet where someone screenshots up. I'll send it to you, where people were like, listen, I've watched wrestling for a long time. Don't play with this shit. It's over for Lex Hoffman. They just used the shoot name. I was like, oh man, this is a hell of a gig. It's something else. But yeah, do you know what? Actually, we did 40 minutes on social media and wrestling. I want everyone to take that conversation too seriously to think about what I just said. There are people that legitimately think that, like, the WWF's usage of the Alexa Bliss is putting actual harm. Because she used a certain symbolism that isn't even, if you actually know it is, isn't even anything about the Fiend Bray Wyatt. You know what I mean? And we're confused that people didn't know what a seizure was. Of course. The point of this whole show is everyone's dumb. That's what I'm saying. This episode, marking history, everyone is dumb. Everything we've said on here was useless and pointless. The only thing you remember is Robert O'Neill's bit. Thank you, Jeremy. And the thing, Bray Wyatt, he's going to do something incredible on Sunday. He's going to explode a pod. He's going to take Randall's place in the pod. He's going to change the business once more in a fashion that will only be truly understood in 35 years on the AEW network when it's covered in detail.
Can't wait.
I'm the excited. AEW network, pal.
I'm there excited. Go. We're going to be big stars on the AEW network, so good.
The Luther episode is going to be like, wow. You know? It's just the thumbnail is just us two, like doing a thumbs up pose with Luther t-shirts on. Are we done here? I don't know.
Yeah. Like we're done. We're done.
Did we miss topics?
No, we never miss topics.
Okay. We don't really have topics, so.
Yeah. All right, everybody. We will be on Twitch in about 10, 15 minutes. Twitch.tv/FightfulGaming. Maybe O'Neill can come on there and finish his review of the Young Rock.
Did he ever see your phone, do you think? I don't think he did. He was just reading.
Yeah, I don't know if he did either.
Oh, man. Can you hit the intro one more time?
Yeah. I was so proud. It took so much restraint for me not to message you this last night. I was that proud of it. I was like, look at this intro I've cooked up for O'Neill. History pilot, bang!
The thing is, I just visualize Bob. I just see Bob in my mind lining up a 3-point shot from the corner. And then in reality, we do a smash cut to Bob just being like, hey guys, how are you? Oh man. It's a weekly segment. I promise the audience, as long as I have any say, I will, no matter how bad it gets, I'll tell Jeremy, this was your idea, it was your best idea. We're never getting rid of it. Okay.
Joseph, let me read this to you. So he tweeted, because, you know, this was supposed to be O'Neill's Corner 3, and he reviews a Taylor Swift song. That was the original idea. And then he tweets of like, hey, can I review Young Rock instead? And that's when I buried him. I was like, look at this guy changing a format before the thing even starts. I DM him, and I said, 4 Eastern every week good. And he says, am I actually doing Young Rock? Because I need to watch the show in that case. And I said, it is what you asked for, Robert O'Neill.
In fairness, though, did genuine research. Had studied it, had watched it multiple times, had his notes. Was prepared. Notes,
yeah.
You can't argue with that. He delivered. He delivered in ways he never could fathom, I feel. There you go.
Oh my god.
Can someone please clip that part of the show? Send it to me.
Just clip the whole O'Neill's Corner 3.
Yeah. I need it because I just, you know, that was something else. I lost my mind during that thing.
Everybody, again, we'll be on twitch.tv/FightfulGaming here in a couple minutes. What else is there? I don't even know.
Poll on my Twitter.
Yes, there you go.
There's not even any point because people have decided we're watching 2000 WCW because they're assholes. But if you want to vote on what Super Bowl we watch together on the 28th of Feb on the Twitch, do that. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joe Hogg, which is where you'll find the poll. Here we go. Watch it. Ready for this? This could break the internet, Jeremy. Tomorrow, 11 a.m. Eastern time, I'll be on Sports Keeda's YouTube channel. No one's found me yet. No one's seen me. I'll be predicting the Elimination Chamber, which is, if you've watched this show, you know, I've got so many thoughts on the Elimination Chamber. I'm so excited. I love talking about the Elimination Chamber. So there's that, because we're changing the business. I'm following TK's footsteps. No heat here, brother. Do I have any articles? Not really. Wrestling with Takes, I do some stuff. You get the deal. This is the craziest show in wrestling media, right? That's the new thing we're going to call it. The craziest show in wrestling media. Did you put that on a poster? With O'Neill's face. That's what I want. Right? This is the best show we've ever done, and it has nothing to do with Jeremy and I. It is particularly that 3-minute segment. The rest you can throw it away. I don't know what we talked about, but that was good.
Sure. I don't know. I don't know anymore. We've peaked. It's the end of the show. Tuesday, Luther and Serpentico are going to join us on Twitch to simulate some Fire Pro 1986 matches from Fire Pro. That's what we're doing on Tuesday. Might do some barbed wire exploding death matches on that. Who knows? We'll be back next week talking about something. O'Neill's Corner 3 returns next week and every week after. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out. Everyone read Molly's article on Hangman Page on Fightful. I'll plug Molly, even though she's banned. Go to Fightful Scraps. I have a watch along. Evan Wright says, big fan of Joe's Dynamite review on his page. There you go.
Thank you, Evan. Thank you.
Everyone, take care. Twitch.tv/FightfulGaming. We'll see you over there.
Spring? Is that you? Warmer temps mean new Allbirds styles. Meet the Superlight Collection, the lightest ever shoes from Allbirds, now in fresh colors. These must-have travel shoes have a lighter-than-air feel and barely their fit that made them the most packable shoes ever. That means more comfort and less baggage. Try the Superlight Tree Runner with a cushy foam midsole and breathable eucalyptus fiber upper. Plus, they're comfy right out of the box. So what can you do in a Superlight shoe? What can't you do is the better question. And because they're super packable, the real question is, where are you taking them? Experience how Allbirds redefines comfort. Visit Allbirds.com and use code SUPER24 for a free pair of socks with a purchase of $48 or more. That's Allbirds.com. Code SUPER24.